Speakeasy Podcast Network.
Men of Letters, a supernatural podcast.
This is Dad's single most valuable possession. Everything he knows about every evil thing is in here. He's passed it on to us. I think he wants us to pick up where he left off. You know, saving people, hunting things, the family business.
Storm's coming. You boys, your daddy, you are smack in the middle of it.
House rules, Sammy. Driver picks the music. Shotgun shuts his cake hole.
No chick flick moments.
All right, jerk.
Bitch.
That Constance chick, what a bitch!
Or you think it's shooting Casper in the face, you freak.
Eat me. No, wait. You actually might.
Hope your apple pie is freaking worth it!
Good evening, jerk.
Bitch.
Hey, so, welcome to Men of Letters. Have we got an episode for you? Tonight, Katie and I cover episode 5, Bloody Mary, and episode 6, Skin. You know, there's just something about Mary.
There's something about Mary.
She's still a fox.
Mary's a fox. She's a fox.
Love that urban legend of Bloody Mary. And Skin will literally make your skin crawl. Well, at least it did for me. So how are you doing on this lovely Friday evening, Katie? What's new and exciting?
Nothing, man. I'm just enjoying my Supernatural and my favorite Tim.
Sweet. Nothing else?
No. What do you want me to say? Yeah, I'm sitting here in my bedroom with a tube top and, you know, short skirt and roller ski. That's what I got going on today. It's my Friday night every night. Oh.
What is it? What's the coincidence? That's exactly what I'm wearing.
I know, except you got nipple tassels and I don't.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, gosh, yeah. Not much here. I'm just prepping for this episode and also for finally our next episode of THSP or That Horror Show Podcast. We have a show called That Dick Moss Episode, which is coming up, which we should have been released back in February, but due to faulty computer mics and sickness, it's hit a slight snag and delay, but we hope to be up and running soon. So I'm keeping your fingers crossed, but we're going to have a new show. We're still alive, apparently. So, but other than that, nothing else is really going on. So, would you like to add anything before we head into our first commercial break?
No, I don't think so. I think let's do that.
Okay, so let's roll that before we roll that commercial trailer for Bloody Mary. Let's take a quick Speakeasy Podcast Network commercial break for That Horror Show Podcast. Hello, is there anyone out there? Hey, do you like horror movies, television shows, and really messed up stuff, and like to have a laugh or two? Then tune in to us, That Horror Show Podcast, with me, Tim Kasda.
And me, Chris Koenig. We cover everything from cult and hard-to-find flicks to classic and contemporary horror films, and everything in between.
Oh, God! So be sure to tune in to us every month for a unique and interesting look at the horror movie genre.
Run, Tim! Run! Oh, look! An isolated cabin in the woods! We should be safe there!
Sounds good, Chris. You can find us at the speakeasypodcastnetwork.tumblr.com. And, of course, our official website at www.thathorrorshowpodcast.podbean.com and the official Facebook page. We're also on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and Player FM.
So be sure to check us out and the rest of the great podcasts at the Speakeasy Podcast Network, where talk is cheap, and so are we!
So you guys better listen to That Horror Show Podcast. That's all I'm have to say.
No kidding, right?
I know. Just saying. So
no pressure.
No pressure, no problem, man.
Yeah, totally.
That's what they say in St. Lucia, man. Okay, so let's roll that commercial trailer for Bloody Mary.
Tuesday, an evil spirit.
Bloody Mary.
Summoned by three chants.
Legend goes, you know who scratches your eyes out.
The one name.
She'll come after me. Gonna kill you.
You don't say alone.
Bloody Mary. Bloody Mary.
Fresh Supernatural on the WB Tuesday.
Oh, man. I don't know. Bloody Mary is probably one of my favorite urban legends. I don't know about you, Katie.
It's a good one. I really like it.
Yeah. I mean, not just because of this episode, but because of the whole, like, lore behind it. I just find it extremely creepy. But, excuse me. Anyway, this episode was directed by Peter Ellis, a story by Eric Kripke, with teleplay by Robert Milburn and Terry Hughes Burton, with the premiere date of with a premiere date of October 11th, 2005. Now, this episode currently sits at on Internet Movie Database with a rating of 8.5 out of 10 stars. So that's actually a fairly decent rating for a really good episode. So here is a synopsis from Wikipedia. Excuse me. When a man is killed, his eyeballs having exploded, after his daughter chants Bloody Mary three times in front of a mirror, Sam and Dean head to Toledo, Ohio to investigate. They learn that Bloody Mary, played by Joanna Hugert, is the ghost of a young woman who was murdered after her eyes were cut out and her spirit was trapped within the mirror that she died in front of. With the mirror now for sale in an antique store in town, Bloody Mary has begun to target those nearby who secretly feel guilt over another's death. The brothers must find a way to stop after a young girl, Margaret Patterson, inadvertently becomes her next target. They track down the original mirror and smash it, but this only releases Bloody Mary. However, Dean forces her to see her own reflection, and her guilt over her own secrets causes her to destroy herself. So let's dive into Bloody Mary. What were your thoughts and feelings?
Well, you just said let's dive into Bloody Mary, and yes. That sounds a little
Well,
maybe we should choose our word better, Tim.
Oh no, it's Friday.
What do I think about the episode?
I've had a couple of drinks under my belt. Let's get this party started.
Yeah, right. Bloody Mary. Yeah, Bloody Mary. Did you have some Bloody Marys? We're watching Bloody Mary.
Sure, why not?
Okay. Yeah, a little filler.
Yeah, how about some scotch and gin and tonic? That sounds good too. Not a fan of the hard liquor?
No, I love tequila. Are you kidding?
Okay.
I would drink you under the table.
I'm sure you could.
I would. You'd be very ashamed of yourself the next day.
Yeah, my tassels would be flopping.
Your tassels would be flat on the floor.
Next to my face.
Yeah, pretty much. In a pile of drool.
Drool, okay. Vomit, not worse.
Yeah, okay. I don't know. Okay. Are you a puker?
Not usually. Not since I was a teenager. But that's neither here nor there. We don't condone teenage drinking.
No.
All right. So let's get into... I don't know how to say this. Let's start this discussion on Bloody Mary.
There you go.
All right. Okay, so what are your thoughts and feelings?
Overall, I thought the episode was really good. I think they really did a great job. I genuinely thought like the special effects were really good. I like how she kind of was creepy. You know, they made her very creepy, and I don't know if this was before or after like The Ring came out.
Yeah,
but it had like that creepy lady kind of feeling. Mm-hmm. And it was like the climax, and then it a good resolution to the story.
Right.
Oh, I enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah, same here. And I love how the story opens, or the episode opens with the three girls. Lee Shoemaker and her friends are over having a sleepover, and you know, it's like truth or dare, and they dare her to go into the bathroom and say Bloody Mary three times, and then those girls are just bitches. They just start slamming on the door.
I know, right? And the only thing that I thought that wasn't believable about that scene was all the fucking candles. My mom would have lost her shit if she had been burning all of those candles. Who takes a candle into the bathroom? Nobody.
I never thought of it that way, but okay.
Yeah, no way.
Yes.
I would have burned the house down.
Which, in this episode, might have not been a bad idea.
Right?
But yeah, so Lily, the youngest daughter, says Bloody Mary three times in front of a mirror, and she conjures a spirit, but it doesn't attack her or her friends. It ends up attacking her father, and at this point, we don't know why, but it just happens, and it's kind of traumatic because you see the father come downstairs and talk to the girls, and then he goes upstairs, and you see Bloody Mary in the father is walking past the mirror. You see just like a quick like shadow of some sort of spirit or entity following him, and then he goes into the bathroom and looks into the mirror over the sink, and he's toast. And the next thing you see is the older daughter coming home, and she goes upstairs and finds her father dead. Cut to the next day, And you see Sam awakening from, I guess, a nightmare of some sort, correct?
Yeah, like I think it's one of those just night terrors.
Yes, yes, only during the day. And he comments to Dean, like, hey, you let me fall asleep. He goes, yeah, because I'm an awesome big brother or something. No, I'm sorry, that's later on in the episode. He just says that we need to talk about your nightmares or your sleeping patterns. and he says they arrived at, I think it was, they're in Ohio. Outside the morgue, and they have to they try to make their way into to see the corpse of Mr. Shoemaker, and
they pretend to be like med students,
right? Yes, that's correct, med students. And I loved the dialogue between this is I think part of my, probably one of the funniest parts of the episode. And there he's talking about he's talking to I guess the second in command or the doctor's understudy or whatever, whoever's sitting there behind the desk.
His assistant.
I'm sorry?
Probably his assistant.
Yeah, the assistant. And they're like, oh, I really shouldn't be showing you the body. You should wait for Dr. So-and-so. And he's like, well, we got to get back on the road, back up to, you know, back up to school. We really need, it's like half of our grade. He's like, I don't care, man. So they ended up bribing him with some money that Dean won in the poker.
Sam just like takes his stuff and hands the cash over, and he's like, I earned that. And my kid is watching because she loves the Supernatural. She's sitting there, she's watching, she's like, did you see that? He took his wallet and took that $200, Mom. And I was like, yeah, he did.
Yeah, I love what Dean says. That he's like, yeah, I earned it. He's like, you won it in poker. He's like, yeah.
Exactly.
But I love how I love how Dean turns to Sam. He's like, I'm gonna punch this guy right in the face. And yeah, how you said your daughter's enjoying the series so far. I mean, is this her first watch through with you?
For the full episode, because she's seen bits and pieces before. But she tells me, she's like, Mom, I want to watch it. Okay. So I said, okay. So we sat down and we watched it today. And mind you, she's only seven, but she can take it.
Okay, that's cool. So they end up seeing the corpse, and they're talking to the guy, and they're like, have you ever seen eyes have done this before? He's like, well, we've seen such and such with stroke victims and with other things like that, like bloodshot eyes. He's like, did you ever see them liquefied before? And he's like, no, that's a new one for me, but the doctor would know more. So,
and they were talking about the incredible amount of, like, cranial bleeding.
Yeah, like the most amount of blood they've ever seen inside of a skull before. I'm like, oh, that's pretty fucking gross.
Yeah, it's good imagery though. I mean, I like the words, it was just very descriptive. And being a person who used to work in a hospital, it was right there in my head. Super gross.
Oh yeah. And they say after they conclude what they after looking at the corpse of Mr. Shoemaker, they say, can we see the copy of the police report?
He's
like, well, I'm not really supposed to, asking for like another fucking bribe.
Right.
Like, this dick.
I know, I would have told him, I'm like, you know what, you could suck it.
There's a lot of, honestly, this episode has got a lot of dicks per minute in it.
Yeah.
If you really think about it. I mean, you got the two girls that harass Elise Shoemaker. You've got the medical assistant, you know, looking for a bribe. And then you got, well, we'll get into the other female dicks or whatever later.
But it's like they floated the douche canoe out.
Yes.
You know, these asshats floating around in it.
There you go. We coined that phrase. So they get a look at the police report, and they actually go to the Shoemaker's residence to try to get more information. It turns out to be the wake and funeral for Mr. Shoemaker. They talk to the daughters and the friends, and I think he said that they work with their dad. That's how they got into, you know, to the funeral or the wake.
That's what they told the oldest daughter. They're like, oh, we work with your dad.
Right.
And her and her friends kind of looked at each other, and then, you know, they're asking medical questions about his history.
Yes.
And then the littlest one, Lily, she's like, it was my fault.
Yeah. Well, why is it your fault? Well, because I said Bloody Mary in a mirror three times, and then Dean comes back and says, well, you said it. It didn't happen to you, so it couldn't have been Bloody Mary.
Your dad didn't.
Yeah. So, trying to relieve the little one's fears a little. Then they go back into the bathroom where it happened, and that's where they're confronted by one of this older sister's friends, saying that you couldn't have worked with her dad. Her dad was like a day trader and worked from home. So who are you really? Tell me or I'll start screaming my head off. He's like, we're somebody that can help, whatever. So they end up giving a card to her saying, if there's anything, please let us know. Or anything else that happens, or please let us know if we can help. And then where do they go from there?
Well, then I think they cut, and then a little while later, it's isn't it the girl in the car, and she's like, I don't know who those guys were, and she's talking to one of the other blonde friend in the group, and
right. Oh yes, that's right. And she tells, and she's she comes home, and she's in front of the mirror. Is it Donna? I want to Donna. No, Donna is the older sister, correct?
I think so. I don't know. It's blonde lady one and blonde lady two. So the one that's like the real skanky blonde, she's at home and she's on the phone with the one who's driving in the car.
Right.
And they're like talking about this, and the skanky blonde says to the other blonde, she's like, "You don't really think that, do you? I'm going to go to the bathroom." And so she goes to the bathroom and starts saying Bloody Mary in the mirror and starts screaming and freaks her friend out. And she's like, that's not funny. And then she's like, you're a freak. I'll talk to you tomorrow. But then she gets her just dessert.
Yes. As she's taking selfies of herself.
I know, right?
with the duck lips. I can't believe that's still a thing. Even back then, I can't believe it was still a thing.
I know. It's awful.
I mean, what's she could have just thrown a trucker cap in there just to be, really right. Douchey.
Right.
So she says Bloody Mary in the mirror three times as a joke while she's on the phone with her friend, and Bloody Mary attacks her. I think it was through a computer screen or something, or was it through the mirror?
I don't know, because we see her in the closet in the reflection of the closet door, and then yes, on the computer.
She goes
into the bathroom.
That's right.
And you see her, she's in the mirror.
Yes, you see the reflection of the computer screen. And she walks away from it. Yes, there you go. Yeah, so she ends up, getting killed by Bloody Mary. And then we see, are we calling her blonde girl number one or number two? Because number two got killed, right?
Yeah, skanky blonde got killed.
Okay, skanky blonde got killed.
The non-skanky blonde.
Okay, I'm having a really hard time trying to keep with all the skanks.
No, the only one, the super skinky one, looked in the mirror and
right,
she's dead now.
Okay.
So she's skinky. Like, seriously, watch it again. You'd be like, yeah, she's skinky.
Oh, God. Oh. All right, I'm sorry.
Okay.
It's been a long day.
Okay.
Maybe you need to talk more.
They're not on the phone, so she doesn't know, like, what's happened. And then I think it's Sam and Dean are like, what are they doing? Isn't that where he falls asleep and he says, because I'm a great big brother?
Yes. Oh, yes. They have to do some sort of research. And they always go to the local library. And it's like, it won't be so bad. And then they cut to the computers being out of service. He goes, ooh, this is going to be really hard. And then we cut to the hotel where you see Sam asleep on the bed. And that's where he says that I'm a great big brother by letting you sleep. And Sam has yet another nightmare of Jessica. We see, I think, Charlie calls Dean and Sam again and hurries to tell her side of it's Charlie. So the non-skanky one is called Charlie.
Yeah,
not skanky
one.
Yes, so Charlie calls and says that something's happened because she confronts Donna, the older sister at school, and Donna's like, I can't believe it. It's one thing for my sister Lily to believe this crap. She's 12, but you're old enough to know better. I can't believe this. And out of spite, Donna says Bloody Mary three times in the bathroom mirror at school.
I'm being extremely careful. Don't
Yeah, and then, and she, like, she gets what? Like, that little cold breath, and there's a little frost on.
Right, right.
Ymir, so she runs out and goes back to class.
Yeah, because, excuse me, because Charlie has a secret, too. So, what happened is, what happened to her friend, her skanky girl number, her skanky girl, was that she accidentally, killed somebody in a hit and run, killed a little 8-year-old boy, or whatever it is, a couple of years ago. And we find out through them getting into, with the help of Charlie, getting into the bedroom, finding out an opening, I guess, after investigating the room, they took down one of the mirrors, and they cut open the back, and you could see a person's name with a handprint on the mirror. And that's how we find out. It was like, I forget who the kid's name.
The kid's name, and they're like, no, I don't. The Charlie says, I don't know who that is.
Yeah,
it was. But then remembers it was some boy who was
killed. Yes.
And then they find out that, you know, the make and model of the car, and then she's like, that's the Skanky Blonde's car.
Right, right.
So, sorry.
We backtracked a little bit so we can come forward again. So, if you could follow our train of thought, kudos to you.
Oh my god, we're a hot mess.
We're a hot mess. My tassels.
At least we're not skanky, though.
Yeah, my tassels are limp.
Aww.
Okay, so Charlie calls Dean and Sam to tell her side, saying something's happening. I Donna said it. Now something's chasing me, and so Sam and Dean tell her to avoid all reflective surfaces. They're going to protect her, and they're going to try to figure it out. So it turns out Charlie, her big secret was that she didn't kill anybody, but she had an ex-boyfriend who said that she broke up with, and he said that if you don't come back to me, I'm going to kill myself. And she, in a fit of anger, she said, go ahead, I don't care, and she hangs up anyway. I guess that's enough for the spirit of Bloody Mary to cast guilt upon her, and Bloody Mary
blame.
No. Yeah, blame.
I think it was because she's already feeling guilty, so that's what attracts Bloody Mary is the guilt. Even though she really wasn't the cause, didn't kill him. Mm-hmm. That's the I think why the Bloody Mary is you feel guilty, so you're at fault.
Yeah, that makes sense. She's attracted to to the guilt. She hones in on it like a beacon. So she's hunting Charlie now, and Sam and Dean are also trying to investigate. Are hitting a brick wall right now, or have been hitting a brick wall with trying to find out where Bloody Mary is coming from, where this urban legend is coming from, where this spirit is coming from. And Dean eventually goes into a database, one of these police bulletin databases, and they find out that that this woman Mary died, I think, in Indiana, I believe, because this was in Ohio.
Fort Worth.
I'm sorry.
Fort Worth, Indiana.
Oh, okay. There you go. More clarification. So Fort Worth, Indiana. So they travel to see a retired police detective, and he tells them that every police officer, when they retire, always ends up with a couple of cases that they can't just solve. Anyway, he goes, his was this Mary Worth or whatever it is case, and turns out that she was dreamt of having a life outside of Fort Worth, Indiana, going to Hollywood and becoming a movie star. Anyway, she was having an affair with a married man who was a doctor, and she called him, T was his nickname, and he killed her in front of the mirror. But they could never prove anything because there was no real evidence to tie him to the case, honestly, because it was everything was too clean. So that was his theory. So they ended up tracking the mirror. The mirror was actually sold by the family to an auction house or some house in Ohio, and that's where they track it down in an antique store. And that's why Mary is able to move from mirror to mirror within, I guess, that vicinity, right? And that's how I understand it.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting that Sam had said that's, you know, the mirror is like a window to the soul, and that's why it's bad luck to break mirrors, because it'll, like, haunt you, which is kind of creepy. But yeah. So they had...
That's why it was 7 years of bad luck to when you break a mirror. So I'm like, oh, well, that's great. That's, you know, taking two things and crossing them over to one.
Exactly.
So they find the antique store, and Sam and Dean break in, and they try to find the mirror, and then they both have a discussion about who should summon Mary, or try to summon Mary, and who's got, I guess, more guilt on their conscience. And Sam's like, no, I got this. This is I've got my own cross to bear. She's gonna come after me. He's like, no, I can't let you do that. This is on me. Whatever. They bicker back and forth. It turns out, you know, Sam is the one to do it because they accidentally trip a silent alarm in the antique store.
Antique, yeah. Yep.
And Dean tries to bluff his way out of the situation by saying, I'm the boss's kid. And he's like, you mean Mr. Yakamoto or whatever it is? Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I'm adopted or something. Yeah. And I'm like, oh.
He's like, yeah, I don't have time for this. Yeah, it's like pounding on the top.
Yeah, and he cold cocks both of them and knocks them out.
Yeah, meanwhile, Sam is in there, you know, doing the Bloody Mary thing. And, you know, she comes out at him, kind of, and then Dean, like, smashes the mirror to let him out of, to let Sam out of the grip. But at that point, I think that you're finding out, yes, you know, why Sam feels so guilty about Justice's death.
There is a big reveal. And what is that big reveal, Katie?
It's, well, he was dreaming about her dying before it happened, and he didn't say anything.
Yeah, he was having premonitions, and we come to learn that he'd known about this, I guess, weeks prior to her death, and I think that's something that comes out in the next couple of episodes later on down the line, that he actually, like, confides in the Dean.
Yeah, because he won't talk about it.
At this point, yeah.
Right.
In fact, towards the end of the episode, he goes, you know, you're my brother, I love you, and I'd die for you, but there are certain secrets I gotta keep, you know, to myself.
Sam,
you big baby.
Secret. Moose.
Come on, Moose. So Dean destroys the mirror, which... Because Mary's still locked in this mirror, and she's struggling, and she's making Sam's eyes bleed, and he's starting to really, you know, feel the effects, you know. And then Dean comes in with the crowbar, smashes the mirror, but it also sets Mary, by smashing that particular mirror, sets Mary free, and she comes crawling through of it, much like, I want to say, The Ring, right? You were mentioning The Ring?
Yeah.
So she comes out making, I want to say, her more powerful at this moment, because the boys are still feeling the effects. Then what does Sam and Dean do?
Well, I think Dean's a genius because Sam's the one who picks up the mirror, right?
I want to say it's almost like both of them at the same time to try to, because they're both on the ground, like, feeling the effect, they're bleeding from the eyes. But yeah, they lift up the mirror and they show the reflection of Mary, and Mary sees herself, and then Mary's talking to herself. She goes, I know what you did. You killed all those people, you know, and...
Yeah.
So, yes, it was...
It, like, she self-destructs.
Correct, yes. And she turns into a big pile of goo and just evaporates. And the boys pick up the non-skanky Ho Charlie and take her back home. Telling her it's, you should forgive yourself. It's not your fault, you know.
Yeah.
And then Dean says to Sam, you know, that's good advice. You should follow it.
Right.
But we shouldn't make mention that the reason why Mr. Shoemaker bit it in the opening scene was because he apparently killed his wife with a drug overdose of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why Mary went after him. So, yeah, I felt this.
We probably should have mentioned that a while.
Oops.
Yeah.
Oh.
Wah,
wah. That's why you need to watch the episodes with us. So yeah, so Mr. Shoemaker died because so basically there was two deaths and the possible one, Charlie, where she, you know, didn't die. If that makes any sense. I don't know anymore.
I know. I feel like this is just like a great episode, but we didn't do it any justice. Yeah,
we just made it so much. You just made it so much worse.
Like, really? I'm not watching that shit. They can't even talk.
What'd you expect for free? A real show?
I know. What kind of
half-ass
crap are we running?
What kind of half-ass operation are you running? Oh, we believe we're running a full-ass operation.
Yes. Totally full-ass.
No, but I thoroughly enjoyed the show. I still, there's something about, like we mentioned in, I think, the pilot, or when we were reviewing the pilot and, Dead in the Water. Was it Dead in the Water? No. The Wendigo. That I really like the tone of this overall, season. Boy, there's a word. Season. Talk. Say things now.
All of the words.
I have no words. Anyway, I love the overall tone of the first season. I love the fact that, like you mentioned, that the almost like the color's there, but it's like muted. Which I think gives more realistic feeling sometimes, and a more morose and just kind of like
dark,
kind of like creepy, really like X-Files like kind of like
foreboding
feeling. And I really enjoyed that. And I just the dialogue here, the acting, all very, very good. This is a real feather in their cap. I really love the urban legend, and I think they did it justice with this episode.
Even though it sounds like we didn't do it justice, it really is an excellent episode for everything that Tim just said. It's just such a good episode.
Yes, it, very, very good. Do you have anything else you'd like to add after I've kind of butchered what I was talking about?
I don't know. I think people, if you haven't seen it, you really should. It's one of the probably best episodes out of like the 13 seasons. It's definitely within, I think, the top 20.
Yeah, it's definitely in my top 10 of season 1, and we mentioned that in a previous episode that we'll be doing a top 10 episode of the maybe a top 5 episodes of each season, and I think this would rank pretty high.
Absolutely.
So now I've just got a few little fun facts. Now it says depending on who you ask and which article you read, Bloody Mary's origins date back to Mary Tudor, but all hold the same theme, that if you say her name 3 times in front of a mirror, she will appear and your eyes will be violently disfigured or removed. So, awesome. Don't say it in front of a mirror.
Oh, no. Somebody dared me to do that once when I was a kid. I was too scared. I was scared shitless.
No, I wouldn't do it. No, especially some chicks banging on the door. No way.
No.
No way.
Teenage girls.
Preteen girls.
Yeah.
There's
another. Soon to be skanks.
Soon to be skanks. Now, don't you go seeing Bloody Mary in the mirror. It says, when Dean says, do I look like Paris Hilton? Sam kind of smirks and then looks away. Jared Padalecki, Sam, starred in a horror movie, House of Wax, with Paris Hilton, that was released just a few weeks, just a few months prior, before Supernatural premiered. So I thought that was kind of funny. And also Paris Hilton, they make a few more Paris Hilton jokes throughout the first few seasons, and she actually guest stars in one of the later episodes, which I thought was pretty funny.
It is how they kind of lined that up.
Yes, which was also like a House of Wax episode, which is also like a pretty funny.
It's a good one. Yeah, definitely a good one.
But it was set in the town of Toledo, Ohio. This is the hometown of series creator Eric Kripke and guest star Adrian Padalecki. Padalecki makes a cameo appearance at the end of the episode, despite her being killed off in the pilot. This is where we're going back to the kid that was killed by the hit and run. Bloody Mary kills the character Jill, whose victim was a little boy named Gary Bryman. In real life, Gary Bryman was a producer of 4 films that were written and or directed by Supernatural creator Eric Kripke. So that's kind of a nice little tidbit and Easter egg for y'all.
I like those little hat tips.
Yeah, it's really, really cool. So I really don't have too much to say other than I give this episode a real thumbs up. That's my final thought. I don't know about you, Katie.
Absolutely. Double thumbs up. I love it.
Sweet. So, all right. So more than two thumbs up. Well, that sounds kind of odd. But the music...
You don't want to know what else is up.
Oh, jeez. I'm taking my tassels off. I'm going home.
See you later. You're going to be known as the stinky blonde number two.
Ironically, I've been called worse.
I believe it.
There were five classic rock songs used in this episode, and they can be found at tunefind.com. And those songs were Sugar We're Going Down by Fall Out Boy, Never Forget by State of Man, Rock of Ages, the 2012 recorded version by Def Leppard, Laugh I Nearly Died by the Rolling Stones, and Bones Into Dust by Fred Herring. So those were the five songs used in this episode. And
they were all approved by a seven-year-old, by the way.
Well, and that's their demographic, right?
I think that music spans the ages.
Yeah, it's crazy that these songs are about as old as your daughter, if not more.
I know, right?
Oh, God, that's kind of cool and kind of weird at the same time, right?
It is weird.
Oh, my God. Well, I think we're done with There's Something About Mary. And we're going to move into episode 6, Skin. But first, let's pause for our final speakeasy commercial break for throwing the controller.
Man, Chris, you suck at this.
Man, it's lag. Shut it.
Maybe we should play Final Fantasy Mystic Quest.
I got next.
Son of a goddamn fuck!
You love it.
Now that that's out of the way, we here at Throwing the Controller get together to talk about video games of all types, retro, current, whatever we choose. So join myself, Chris Barreras, Eric Barajas, and our digital Jedi, Brian Warren, as we dive into the world of video games.
Let's give the people what they want.
And join our Facebook group, the Speakeasy Video Game Group.
I'm Gina Linetti, and I approve this message. I love you.
Well, welcome back. Let's roll that commercial trailer for Skin.
Next Tuesday.
We're not like other people.
We're here to help.
Two brothers hunt for a being that can assume anyone's identity.
Guy's walking around with my face, okay? I want to find him.
What have you done with him?
It's me, all right?
Where's my brother?
First Supernatural, next week on the WB Tuesday.
So I'll read the episode synopsis for Skin. After Zach, Alex Holt, a college friend of Sam's, is arrested for murdering his girlfriend, the brothers head to St. Louis, Missouri to investigate. Zach's sister, Becky, Amy Gravau, claims that he was with her at the time of the murder, although security footage places him at the scene of the crime. After a similar murder occurs, they realize that the real culprit is a being with the shape-shifting abilities. The shapeshifter then captures the two and plans to use Dean's form to kill Becky. The brothers escape and alert the police. Becky is saved, but the police believe Dean to be her attacker. As Dean later searches through the shapeshifter's lair, Sam visits Becky to make sure she knows what they are dealing with. However, she reveals herself to be the shapeshifter and knocks Sam unconscious before morphing back into Dean. After the real Dean finds the real Becky tied up in the lair, he confronts the shapeshifter and shoots it dead while still in his form, causing the police to declare Dean dead and end the manhunt for him. Now, if that couldn't be any more confusing, I don't know what.
Yeah, this is going to be a really hard one for us to discuss because I'm already lost, and I've seen the episode four or five times in the last couple of weeks. Yes, I really enjoyed this episode. I thought it was very cool. It had one of the, what I want to call a cringeworthy moment. Cringeworthy.
There you go.
Cringeworthy. This is the first cringeworthy. Ah, boy, I'm going to say this again. This is the first cringe-worthy moment. There we go. of season one for me, and it basically has to deal with just seeing the shapeshifter morph. And even though it's done with practical effects, which is awesome because I always love practical effects, minimal CGI, and it just are fantastic. And because it has to deal with, you know, the speed up of the camera, the lighting, and just, you know, makeup, and it was very, very good. I watching the shapeshifter of Dean transform into somebody else was awesome, and it grossed me out. Almost at least every time I see it.
Yeah, every time. Because it's gross.
Yeah.
It's super gross.
Yeah, it is.
It, like, all my kids watch this episode with me, and they were all like, "Ooh, Mom, look at that."
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's gross.
Yeah, the nails popping off the fingers, the teeth falling out.
God. The ear, he's peeling, like, his ear off, and it slides and drops onto the floor and finds his balls.
And the way, I think, I want to say that's Jensen Ackles' body. I don't think he used a bi-dub, but the way you see his, like, the rib cage contort, and it is super fucking freaky. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of editing and lighting that goes into that episode as well, but like I said, that just, like, ew. And then
this is classic horror, stuff.
Yeah.
There's not, like, that, you know, now everything's, like, super CGI. There's, like, a green screen for everything. You know, it's done on the computer. This is, like, at the core special effects.
Yeah, old school. And effective, very effective. And I will say this right now, because when we get later down the line, I love these early shapeshifter episodes because these are really cool. And I think, I don't know where they decided to, if it was a showrunner or an executive producer's decision, but how they just made the shapeshifters just automatically just, like, kind of like morph all of a sudden, just like nothing. I like to see the process being this, like, really hard process for, like, this creature to go through, and not just something that by the flick of a switch, you know, by, you know, bat of an eyelash, this person can change into somebody else. I like to see the you know, the shedding of the skin and the transformation, because that's what makes it, you know, creepy. Not, I mean, obviously it can be creepy either way, but still, I think it's telling a horror or a supernatural perspective story that this is the much better way to go.
It is, but I'm gonna. So there's a little bit late into the show. There's some things discussed about the shapeshifter, and what they say is the reason why I would say it's like the evolution of a shapeshifter instead of, you know, it's, you know, them just, like, now it's like a very gross and kind of horrific experience for the shapeshifter to go through. And later, how you said, it's a flip of a switch. Well, in my mind, because of what is said in this episode, it's like the shapeshifter, like, evolves and to be able to do it faster. And I think for them to, like, this is like you're learning the basics. This is the introduction of the shapeshifter, and they later on in a lot of the episodes, they don't take time for that because they're so wrapped up or engulfed in the episodes that I don't feel that they have time for all of this extra fun stuff.
That is a fairly good point. But it's like, I don't know. There's just,
special effects are super cool.
Yeah, I was just like, we'll discuss those episodes later on down the line when we get there. But let's talk about season one. my bad. But so Sam and Dean, they're on the road. They're stopped at a gas station, and Sam is, like, flipping through his, oh God, Palm Pilot. That's how dated this is. and I'm sorry, but you know, and so Dean is pumping gas, and you know, Sam, you know, like you said, receives an email from his college friend Becky saying her brother was arrested for murdering his girlfriend, and Sam's like, well, I mean, Dean's like, you still keep in touch with your college buddies? What do you tell them? You know, he was like, well, I tell them I wrote to my brother after Jessica died. He goes, you don't tell them everything? He goes, no. He goes, well, that's lying, Sam. So I just thought
that. And then he totally doesn't want to go because it's like, it's not our kind of problem.
Right. He goes, Sam, St. Louis is 400 miles back that way. We're going the opposite direction. He's like, we're going. And then you see him turn around, speed out of the gas station, and fly on down the road. And what I love before is the camera pans up on this old gas station and says, "Drive safe, America," and you see the car just, like, rip out of there.
I know. And then my kids said the same thing, and she's, the 7-year-old's like, "Look how they drove off," and the sign says.
Yes.
Oh my God, you are too quick for me.
Oh.
It was a good one. And it was, like, one of the few times, I think, in a lot of the episodes of the show where, like, Sam gets his way.
Yeah, yeah. Sam bats his puppy dog eyes at Dean, and Dean goes, "Oh, all right, whatever." But so they roll in the town, and he sees Becky, and they talk, and he's like, and this is the only episode, I want to say, that I can remember, that Sam and Dean actually don't use an alias at all.
Yeah.
They use their real first names, and that makes sense because this is his friend from college. So I mean, you can't really lie to her. But just an interesting tidbit that they don't use a rock alias or
no, right?
So yeah, Dean's a police detective from
Bisbee, Arizona.
I knew it was Arizona. I just couldn't remember. I know it started with a B. And he goes, "But I'm off duty now."
Yeah. A detective, actually.
Oh, detective, yes.
Yeah, because Sam introduced him as an officer, and he's like, "No,
yes,
I'm a detective."
Yes. So apparently, Zach is in two places at once. And you gotta love this. Oh, where are their parents? Her parents are coming in.
Oh, they're in France.
Yeah, in France.
Must be nice.
They live there half the year. They're flying back for the trial. Well, pardon the fuck out of us.
I know. Why is he even going to jail? If you can afford to live in France for half the year, you can afford a better attorney.
Yes. Oh, God. So, so Sam and Dean and Becky are talking, and he says that can we get to see the crime scene? She's like, "No, it's pretty much cordoned off." He goes, "Well, we can't do it, but Dean can because he's an off-duty cop or detective, So they break into the house, and it was just a bloodbath in there. What do they find? They find, like, blood splattered everywhere, and pictures, and there's a dog outside that won't stop barking.
And she's like, "Oh, that dog is so sweet," and now it's just, a monster. And you're like, "Oh, and when did that happen?" And she's like, "Well, it was just before the murders."
Right.
So.
Yeah, and I want to say, this has got one of the best cold opening songs so far I've seen, starting with "In a God of Vita," where Dean is like, the killer is hovering over Becky, because they have to cut back a week earlier. Do you remember that in the beginning of the episode?
Yes, that's what I do. It does. You see Dean over Becky, and
right.
She's tied up, and she's bloody, and she's a mess.
Right.
And then you see the cops come in, and then
right.
His face turns back, and he goes to jump up the window, and you're like, what the heck just happened?
Oh, man. I mean, but that song that they use at the beginning. Now, I know on Netflix they use a different song. But if you watch the DVDs or if you catch, like, the original broadcast on, like, TNN or TNT or TBS, wherever it is, they use the "Ain't a God of Vita" by Iron Butterfly. And it's such a fucking polarizing, like, awesome song. I wouldn't say polarizing. That's the wrong word. Such an awesome song. I mean, do you remember, like, Reservoir Dogs, where they had the ear cutting scene?
Oh my God!
With Steeler's,
yeah.
With Steeler's wheel with stuck in the middle with you. That's exactly.
Yeah.
That's how I felt with this song. And it's just like when you watch it on Netflix, they use a different song. And I'm like, man, there's so much that's lost there because "Ain't a God of Vita" was such a, like, a phenomenal song, choice of song by Eric Kripke and the group. And oh, nothing beats it. But then they flash back a week and they go through the story. So I'm sorry, I had to backtrack because I love the Iron Butterfly.
You should just, like, edit that so it's in the beginning and then, that it's in the
Yeah, that's a lot of work. I don't know. What? Are you muting yourself right now? Katie?
Just,
I'm sorry.
You know, trying to be sneaky.
I, Katie, I can't hear you. You're breaking up.
Hello?
Hello? Okay. You there?
Yeah, I don't know what happened.
Okay, neither do I. Okay. I heard some laughing.
Well, I don't even remember what I was laughing at.
Okay. Something about, I'll do some minor editing, but we won't tell everybody else that.
Shh.
It's a secret. We poop magic here.
Right.
Okay, so.
Like rainbows and butterflies.
Oh, God, this train is so far off the tracks, it's in, you know, it's in the forest. Okay, all right, so, where were we? Oh, so they're in the house. So inside Zach's house, they're looking at the crime scene. You mentioned that the dog that's barking nonstop and being very vicious. And Becky says, "Oh, that dog was so sweet. He wouldn't harm a fly. And now he won't shut the hell up." And they probe her further. And she says, "Yeah, that dog. Ever since the murders." You know, from a week before, that the dog has been kind of like on edge, so that's kind of a red flag for Sam and Dean.
Yeah, because one of them mentions, I think it's Sam mentions to Dean that, you know, animals are sensitive to, you know, the supernatural and the paranormal.
Right, right, exactly true. And so they're investigating, and I believe Becky says she's got surveillance footage that she stole from the lawyer's office that they can look at, because Zach was with his sister at their house for till about midnight drinking beer, but on the videotape it has Zach coming back to his place around a little after 10 o'clock and killing his wife or his girlfriend.
Girlfriend, yeah.
At like 10:30 and. So how could you be two places at once?
They check out the videotape because they're, you know, she's like insisting that, you know, the police and the lawyer say there's no way it could have been tampered with.
Yeah, in fact, no way. They had a private investigator look at the tape to make sure it was authentic and it was not tampered with or whatever. And so. It turns out that they slowed down the footage. They send Becky out of the room, and
for sandwiches and beer, by the way.
Yeah. There's a nice little Hooters remark. She goes, "Oh, this isn't Hooters." He goes, "Yeah, I wish." Dean, always Dean with the one-liners, even under his breath.
Man,
yeah, he's a big old slut.
So right. They send her out of the room for sandwiches and beer,
right?
And then
I'm sorry. Go on.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, go on.
Oh, I was going to say that they look at the tape and they noticed that his eyes are like, kind of glowing, which leads them to believe, you know, that, you know, that's not really Zach.
Right. Yeah, there's a lens, and I wouldn't say a lens flare because that's what they always say, that's what other people say, it's a lens flare, it's a reflection of light off their eyes, and they're like, no, that's something that's really up our alley. So the boys
cut, and then they have them outside.
Right. They make mention of being. Dean and Sam, or Sam, Dean makes mention to Sam. Why do we have to be out here at 5:30 in the morning?
Right.
To investigate to look at this house again, and they're talking about how they stopped looking. They didn't look at the back of the house because they had caught Zach in the house, so there's no need to investigate further about what's going on outside. So they're looking around, looking at like the telephone poles and streets.
Don't they find like a bloody handprint?
Yeah, they find a bloody handprint on a telephone pole, and they're trying. Well, how's he getting around? These things can't fly, can they? And then they say, well, there can be another way, and they see a sewer system, or they see a sewer like a manhole cover. And that's how they believe that this thing is getting around town, because you can see there's a distinct pattern that this creature is following, because you realize that, like, two or three blocks down, there's been another.
Yeah, as they discover this, hear the sirens
there
and stuff go off.
And
And they start, while Sam is investigating, Dean is talking to the neighbors, and they say, oh, he was such a nice man. He bathed every morning, and I can't believe he tried to kill his wife. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he keeps saying that it wasn't him. Well, they know now that it probably wasn't him.
Right, right. And this gentleman had gone on away on a business trip, and we do see a picture or a scene setting this up where we see the shapeshifter as Zach making notes nearby and watching this guy like leave his townhome for a meeting and or leave town for a meeting, and he's planning on shapeshifting into this guy and tying up the girl, and I don't even know, because there's really not a rhyme or reason why the shapeshifter is doing it. It's not like he's stealing anything. It's not like he's just, I guess, doing it for kicks, honestly.
Yeah, and that's, so I think the one thing that was kind of lacking with this episode is like, there was no why.
Yeah.
You know, there's no reason given why he's doing this.
It's like he's doing it for fun. That's yeah. The only thing. And so, excuse me. So you said that Dean was interviewing, or not Dean, Dean was talking to one of the ladies and talking to the police officers and overhearing things, and he heard that the guy had come home and saw his wife or his girlfriend, fiance, whatever, tied up. He actually called 911. He was actually knocked out, and he called 911, and they arrested him because, he killed her, correct, I want to say?
No, he tried to.
Oh, he tried to.
Because he was unwrapping her when she's like, you know, she's like, get away from me. I'll do whatever you want. Right. Just don't touch me again.
And then that's when he hears like a commotion or something in the other room, and he goes to investigate, and he gets knocked out by himself. I believe that's what had happened, correct?
Yeah, AKA the shapeshifter.
Correct. So, you know, they call 911. The guy is hysterical, saying, you know, whatever. And they're like, they arrest him for the murder, or for the attempted murder. So, very interesting stuff here. So, and we find out the only way to kill a shapeshifter is what?
Silver bullet.
A silver bullet through the heart. So the shapeshifter, knowing he's been led on to, or been is
found out,
yes, and because we see Sam and Dean tracking him through the sewer, or tracking it through the sewer system, and finding, oh, you know, little gifts behind, like body parts and teeth and ears.
You know, I'm like goopy. It's just goopy with like hairs in it, and goopy teeth in it. It's just gross.
Yeah, there's. Another funny,
it's like skin soup.
Yeah, skin soup. And they're going down through the sewer system tunnels and stuff like that. And Dean's like, yeah, we're on the right trail. He's like, how do you even know, Sam? He's like, because the next puke-inducing clue is right next to your head. And Sam turns his head, and there is, you know, some, like you said, skin soup hanging off of one of the pipes. Oh, good times.
Yeah. Skin soup hanging off a pipe. Delicious.
Oh, God.
How many licks does it take to get to the
center? Oh, God. All these will be more, and all these answers will be answered in more on the next upcoming episode of MOL. Which stands for what, Katie?
Men of Letters podcast? Really?
Okay, so
these two idiots are running through the sewer, and then they run after the shapeshifter and are on the street running around, and then
yes,
Sam runs into Dean, and he's like, oh, I lost him. And so they walk back to the car, and as they like turn around, you see Dean's eyes aren't really Dean's eyes. They flash like that silvery glow, and we know it's the shapeshifter, and Sam has to figure that out. So they hit the car, and, you know, Dean's like, the not real Dean is like, all right, give me the keys.
Yeah.
And he throws him the keys, and he catches them, but then he's like, hey, wasn't that, like, a shapeshifter that Dad dealt with down in wherever, you know, wherever it was. And he's like, oh, no, remember, it was this, that, and the other thing?
It was a thought form. It was this, it was that, you know,
Right, you could tell, like, Sam had, like, some kind of idea. But then, so the not Dean opens the trunk and is looking around at the stuff. And then Sammy comes around to the back end and he's like, you're not my brother.
Yes. You cut the keys with your wrong hand because you said you're because he got knocked into the pipes down in the sewer. So Dean caught the keys with the wrong arm. He was like, "Oh yeah, it's better. What do you want me to do? Cry about it?" So yeah, Sam gets knocked out by you know the fake Dean, and he ends up in the sewer.
That's where the party's at, apparently.
Yeah, woohoo. Ew, skin soup and the Sam and Dean with some rats. God knows what other vile things are down there.
You know what? You just had to say Sam and Dean skin soup and some ropes in the sewer, and you sold me.
All right. Get your mind out of the gutter.
Nope, I'm in the sewer.
The sewer. That's so much worse than the gutter.
All right.
So Sam is knocked out downstairs. knocked out. He comes to in the sewer, and we find out that Dean was also knocked out and under some sort of like tarp or blanket or something.
Well, then the shapeshifter Dean goes over to Becky's house,
right?
You know, and he pulls his like Dean moves on her. Slick stuff. And then they get to talking, and this is where, the shapeshifter Dean is like, yeah, I feel like me and this thing have a lot in common because, we just want somebody to love us. And, what else does he say? I think it's like I was born like this thing and then it was mutated.
Yeah.
And that's where I got my idea of like this evolution, where it's like, you know, it's ever changing because you're born and then you turn into this shape shifting, you know, soup skin guy. And then later on, as the seasons progress, it's like a quicker change.
Yeah. Oh, look at the big brain on Katie using the muscles.
Wow. Oh my God. It hurt like so much.
Like, oh my God. Now, like, did you stretch beforehand?
Oh, I did. Oh, it's so hard. Oh my God.
You don't want like, to pull that a was, hammy. Like, my
whole, I was saving that up the whole day. I'm like, I need like 5 minutes. 5 minutes on the podcast is all I just gotta hold on. Say one intelligible thing. Oh, so good. Now that it's out, I can be stupid again.
Open mouth, say things. I don't know.
Like, all of the words.
Like, whatever.
For sure. Now you're sounding like stinky blonde. Stop it.
Stop it.
Stop embarrassing yourself.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway. It's okay.
Yeah, except let's give a special shout out to maybe Tank, who might be listening to. Maybe we suckered in Mark. So hi, guys.
Yeah.
Thanks.
And everyone at the fine, oh, whatever.
All those jokers over at the Speakeasy podcast.
There you go. That's what I was trying to say.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Open mouth. Wow. This is horrible. I am not feeling myself today.
Anyway. Oh, really? Because that's new.
Shh. That's not for talk here.
You brought it up, buddy.
Not bring up anything. What is going on?
Okay. Talk about two perfect episodes, Bloody Mary. Yeah.
I really like these shows, and I really, really feel like I'm not doing it justice. Why am I not more prepared?
I don't know.
Okay.
Let's figure this. Let's like rewind. Okay. Back to like where I got smart for a minute about talking about the shapeshifters and how the not Dean is trying to be super Dean and talk about how, you know, he can relate to this shapeshifter unbeknownst to Becky that he is the shapeshifter. And then he tries to make his moves on her and she rejects him. And then so she ends up in the hot seat tied up, you know, and kind of bloodied. And, you know, he's talking about how it could have gone different. And then I believe get back to the sewers.
Because
the police show up.
The police do show up, and it ends up because Sam and Dean make a pact, saying that because they want to go back to the car after they get after Sam and Dean break out of the lair of the shapeshifter, they go back to Becky's house. Is it Becky's house? Yeah, Becky's house.
Yeah, Sam goes back to Becky's house to check on her, make sure she's okay.
Before Sam gets arrested, they go there. Both Sam and Dean go there.
Oh yeah, they went to look for the car.
They went to look for the car because all their guns and their stuff is in the car. They said that the shapeshifter probably took the car, parked it outside.
And Dean has a shit fit because he doesn't want that thing driving his car.
Right. So Sam takes a fall, but he says they can't hold me. They have nothing on me. You get out of here. So Sam goes to jail. He goes, I'll meet you at Becky's later. So then Dean goes off to try to kill this thing, and he ends up, getting the best of. He gets taken down. Mm-hmm. And then I think the shapeshifter changed from the shapeshifter changed. Does she change back into Dean, or did she change?
Okay, so he went from Dean, and then he changed into Becky.
Right.
And then Sam goes to Becky, and Sam is with Becky. And then Becky beats him over the head with a bottle, the shapeshifter Becky beats Sam over the head with a bottle.
Oh, that's right. Because
he says how to kill a shapeshifter.
Right, and that's right, because Sam goes into the, Sam Dean goes back into the sewer with his guns to try to find, he finds Becky, tied up. He goes, we got to get back to the house, and that's, exactly. That's where shapeshifter Becky.
Because she's all freaked out. She's like, until that thing turned back into me.
I was there. I'd seen it, and I didn't even believe it. Oh, man. All right, so Sam is tied up because, shapeshifter Becky knocks his ass the fuck out. Dean comes in. So Sam and Dean are Sam and the shapeshifter Dean are now fighting.
Yes, because shapeshifter. Well, the shapeshifter went from being Becky and back to being Dean, tied up Sam, left him on the ground, stabbed a knife into Counter with some of his funny little banter, and then turned around. Sam kicks him, gets the knife, cuts himself loose, and then there's this whole big hullabaloo.
Ooh, 10 cool points for saying hullabaloo. But I want to make a mention of how easy this was for Sam.
I know, right?
There's a ginormous butcher knife, and he just stabs in there, and what kind of rope cuts away in, 2 seconds?
I don't know, but it was good rope.
I'm like, that, wow. I hope you don't have to tie down anything important with that,
Okay. Hope you're not tying your boat to the pier with that.
You are so fucked. Your boat's flying.
Yeah, right.
Away.
Maybe the douche canoe with all the ash mat uses that rope, and we can just cut it and let
okay.
them float off.
All right, I'm gonna have to start making a running total: douche canoe, ass
hat.
Oh. Okay. Well, welcome to Men of Letters. Have we got a show for you tonight? Douche canoes for everyone.
Yeah, douche canoes.
So anyway,
you've never heard that.
So, no, I have not. I guess I've been living a sheltered life.
Yeah, probably.
So the rope breaks away like nothing.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. Because then you see that he's tied up on his hands and his feet.
Right.
And then he gets out of the rope on his hands, and I'm like, how did he do his feet so fast?
Yes.
Because he's, doing the, dancing around.
Fucking David Copperfield.
Yeah, I know, right?
Oh, man, so.
But it's not enough to make me, knock this episode down.
No.
It was just something that was notable and a little ridiculous.
Right, and honestly, I've probably seen, all these episodes, and I know it doesn't sound like it. I've seen these episodes a lot, but I have.
Yeah,
but I've seen each of these episodes, I don't know, more times than I care to remember, because I used to watch them all the time, and it's just like the last recording. I'm like, wow, that is super fast that he cut himself loose. Because I'm so enthralled with the story. I sometimes you overlook like the obvious stuff or
because it's like you're so engrossed in what's going on,
right?
That it's like, and you don't even mind, and then it's like, oh wait, that's what I've been missing. Oh,
ooh, I feel so stupid now.
Yeah.
But so. There's the big fist fight ensues. They break a lot of breakable furniture. They go flying through bookcases and onto coffee tables, and it's just, and Dean, the shapeshifter Dean is about to choke out Sam, and then Dean busts in and he shoots shapeshifter Dean with two times in the chest with the silver bullets, and bang. He walks over to his dead body, or walks over the shapeshifter's body and grabs, you know, that necklace of his off of the guy, off the shapeshifter. So, because we turned out that necklace is very important, and that comes into play later on in the series. But.
And it's very sentimental.
Yes. What else is there?
I don't know. Pretty much, that's about the. Yeah. The police. They're like, oh, we've caught the suspect, and Becky says to them, oh yeah, they believe that this Gene Winchester is the one who is murdering the culprit for all of these like murders
and they believe the tape was tampered with now.
Yeah, and that they found like. Skin and hair stuff and everybody's clothes down in the sewer in his lair. Mm-hmm. So that's what they believe. And then I think it's as Sammy and Dean are driving off. Mm-hmm. Dean's only regret is that he won't get to see his own funeral.
Yes, always with a badass remark. But yes, the end. And Kate and Becky's like, well, when will we see you again? He goes, it probably won't be here for a while, and we never see or hear of Becky again, or Zach, or anybody from school.
Sorry, spoilers.
Oh,
I wouldn't say we never hear from anyone from school again. Mm-hmm. That's not entirely true.
No. Do you know something I don't?
I do. I pay attention.
Stay tuned.
Yeah.
Spoilers on a retrospective podcast.
Yeah, you have to wait for it.
Yeah, isn't that kind of built into the name of the title?
No, I'm going to make you wait for this one.
Oh, tease.
If you don't know it, forget it. No. I'm not going to tell you. I would tell everybody else, but then you would know.
We're just a bunch of tasseled teases.
You got that right.
Oh gosh, but yes, my final thoughts for me. I totally give it a thumbs up, even if it was for the breakaway ropes.
Right.
I thought it was definitely a solid outing, a lot of fun. Like I said, it had its first, in my opinion, cringeworthy moment of the season, the end of the series. I can't find anything really at fault other than the breakaway ropes. What about you?
I agree. It was a solid episode. The special effects were classic. They were done well. They were very convincing. And it was computerized. There was no frills. It was just like a cut and dry, like definitely gross out kind of like horror feeling episode. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, me too.
Thumbs up from me.
Awesome. Two major thumbs up from the people over at MOL, so take that for what it's worth. there are just some really kind of cool things I like to talk about real quick. Some fun facts.
When don't you have a fun fact?
That's because I live for, fun stuff. Or for,
You're a fun fact fanatic.
I'm a fun fact fanatic. There you go. Say that 10 times really fast.
No.
Do it now! No. So, okay. Jensen Ackles appears shirtless in this episode. This was devised by Eric Kripke to meet the overwhelming number of requests he received from fans for Ackles to appear wearing less clothes. Well, you got it. And it's kind of disgusting.
I know. They, like, met that request, but in the grossest way possible.
So kudos to you. Now, in the first, I mentioned this earlier, but in the first minutes of the show, we follow SWAT team members into the house. The music that plays is Ana Gata Vida by Iron Butterfly, which pays homage to the 1986 movie Manhunter, where this exact same scenario was first seen. A Good Deal by Mommy and Daddy was replaced in Ana Gata Vida by Iron Butterfly for the streaming service of Netflix's version. So there, you got A Good Deal by Mommy and Daddy, which I don't know anything else about that group. Dean called Sam Joe College in reference to Tim Peoria's novel of the same name about an Ivy League student in a fraternity who's known for being a typical party college kid. And we also mentioned this before. This is the first time Sam and Dean's last name Winchester is said. That's all I have for fun facts for there. The six classic rock songs used in this episode, courtesy of TuneFind.com, are as follows. Number one, Ain't a Gotta Vida by Iron Butterfly. Good Deal by Mommy and Daddy. Hey Man, Nice Shot by Filter, which was played when...
Yeah.
Which is... I always love this. I've heard that song in like so many good. Different movies and television shows, and still such a fucking great song. Mary by the Death Riders. Poison Whiskey by Lynyrd Skynyrd. And All Right Now by Free. So those are the six songs used, thanks, courtesy of TuneFind for all the hard work they put into that. So that's all I have. Do you have any closing comments you'd like to make, Katie?
I got nothing. All my smart stuff already.
I said smart things already. I'm tired.
Pretty much.
Brain shutting down.
I go night-night.
Yeah, I go night-night. Brain shutting down. That's how it sounds out when it's charged.
No, that sounds like something else shutting down.
So... My computer? Windows?
Sure.
Oh, my
God. Don't worry, I won't tell Christine you're talking about
her. Oh, my God. All right. So, excuse me. All right, trying to be professional here. Done this before. Can we try saying that with a straight face, please?
Okay.
Take 47. All right. So for episode number 4, we will be reviewing episode 7, Hook, and episode 8, Bugs. So feel free to rewatch those two episodes and join us next time on Men of Letters or MOL. Now, if you would like to get in touch with us, please email us at menoflettersupernatural@gmail.com. You can also find us on Facebook at Men of Letters. Like us there and keep up to date on us. Also, a quick shout out to Grim Horror on our Twitter for our first two episodes. Sent us always with emojis, which is great. Thank you, sir. Two skulls and cross beer emojis. So thanks for the Twitter love, Grim. Now, tonight, you heard commercials from That Horror Show podcast and Throwing the Controller. Please also give a listen to our other fine and outstanding podcasts at the Speakeasy Podcast Network, like Sequel This, the Mark and Ken Video Store Podcast, the Junk Drawer Podcast, and Fighting Words, all of which can be found at www.thespeakeasypodcastnetwork.tumblr.com. So, good night, jerk.
Night, bitch.
Good night.
Thank you for listening to Men of Letters.